Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
This is your last chance to save 65% on a full year of BODi. I'm Carl, co-founder of BODi. That's B-O-D-I. And I want to help you lean into your decision to start working out and eating better. Right now, if you sign up for a one-year subscription to BODi, I'll give you 65% off. Look, I know it's not easy to get fit and lose weight, especially if you're trying to figure it out by yourself. But we make it simple. Just follow a program for 20 to 30 minutes day by day and lose 5 to 10 pounds a month. We have over 120 programs that have been tested and proven to work, and almost 300,000 five-star reviews in the App Store to prove it. BODi also has complete eating plans and thousands of healthy, delicious recipes. So stop guessing and start seeing results with BODi. And let me give you 65% off right now so you save big on the app that CNN underscored named Best Fitness App. But the sale ends this week, so don't wait. Sign up for a year of BODi and save 65%. Just go to BODi.com. That's B-O-D-I with an I.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so tonight we're doing a follow-up of sorts to the Strange Case of Billy Meyer episode. And with me tonight is Mahesh, who is from India. So if you could, Mahesh, please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you for inviting me on the show, Aaron. I'm very happy to be here. Well, as you said, my name is Mahesh and I come from India. On how I discovered the Meyer case, should I tell you who Billy Meyer is, or should I go on with how I have become familiar with the case?
Yes, since most of the audience has listened to the earlier episode, and if they haven't, I would urge them to do so before listening to this one, you could pick up where you became familiar with it.
Okay, so the first time I became familiar with the case is in 2008 when somebody brought it up on an online forum. So I immediately Googled Billy Meyer. Then I found out that he had taken a lot of several hundred photos, clear daytime photographs of beam ships or UFOs, as one might call them, and over a dozen 8mm films, sound recordings, metal samples, over 100 witnesses, and several thousand pages of contact notes, not to mention over 200 instances of prophecies and predictions. So at the time, it was so compelling to me. I mean, when compared to other cases, no other EFO case comes as near to the Meyer case in terms of both quantity and quality. So I was very absorbed, and I immediately purchased these contact notes and started reading them, started going through these thousands of pages. And later I also purchased the investigation books published by the original investigators, Wendell Stevens and Lee Elders. And I have read their investigation as well, and later the investigation documented by Gary Kinders in his book, Light Years. So basically, even though they don't say anything conclusive regarding the case, but they conclude that the case is most likely true. So at the time, I thought was I had very positive, my views are mostly positive towards the case.
Meaning that you, at that point, felt very good about it and that you were excited probably, right?
Yeah, I was convinced at the time that there could be the case could be likely true. At least some part of it could be true at the time, because there were over 100 witnesses who said they have witnessed beam ships and also these assassination attempts on him. There was the evidence was compelling. The investigators have been to there. They did not find any, you know, negative evidence like strings in the films. No dark room equipment, Meyer having any accomplices, no any funding. So at the time, it was very compelling to me. I thought that the case could be likely true, or at least some part of it could be true. That was the impression at the time, in the beginning. But much later, when I started reading the skeptics' rebuttals, their books and their articles, and after digging myself, I found out that the evidence which I once thought to be strong is not so strong after all. And not only that, I've also found so many contradictions, inconsistencies, and so much of negative evidence as well. So now I have become very skeptical of the case, which has been for quite a while.
So in other words, at first when you approached this case, you almost fell in love with the idea that there could be aliens visiting us and giving us an important message. And then later, after you started really digging into it, you started to feel as though it was not true.
Yeah, I found out that the claims doesn't quite add up. That's right. Doesn't add up, and also there is so much of negative evidence as well. I'm sure we are going to discuss about it.
Right. One of the interesting things about the Billy Meyer case is that he does have a PR guy of sorts, Michael Horn. And Michael Horn is a passionate supporter of the Billy Meyer case and its claims. I'm sure that you got to know him a bit by doing your research.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, when I had mostly positive views towards the case, I have shared my work with Michael Horn, especially when the prophecies and predictions. When initially I thought that all these are prophecies and predictions have been published before the events have been fulfilled. So at the time, I documented over 150 plus of these fulfilled prophecies and predictions from the Meyer contact notes, and later shared them with Michael Horn, expecting him to do the due diligence of verifying and confirming these as genuine, which to my surprise found out that that wasn't the case.
So what you're saying is Billy Meyer, because of his contact with these aliens, was able to make prophecies and predictions, and you were looking through to find out whether the prophecies and predictions had truly been made before they had come to bear, before they happened.
Yeah, that's right. After I had turned skeptical towards the case, but in fact, exactly my research into the prophecies and predictions has turned me skeptical towards the case. Initially, I thought that all these prophecies and predictions have been verified by both by Meyer and his group around him, Figu, and also Michael Hahn, since they have been making so many extraordinary claims. For example, they claim that they have these prophecies and predictions have been published by Millie Meyer since 1940s, 50s, and then they have been shared with governments, newspapers, magazines, radio stations, and the world leaders, and they state that they have not responded to Myers, and because of that, they must be held responsible for all the negative things that is happening on the earth right now. So for not listening to, for not paying attention to Myers' warnings and listening to his solutions. So they basically make pretty extraordinary claims. So I thought instead of just claiming that so-and-so has been published before Meyer and so-and-so has been fulfilled, I thought it would be best to document with evidence, which would convince anyone. Unlike the other evidence, which really requires a lot of technical know-how. For example, photos, one needs to know how to fake one, darkroom equipment. So even if the experts say something, offer their opinion on the Maya stuff, some other expert might come and may disagree with the earlier expert. So the common guy, ordinary folks, may not understand exactly. If they just have to go by the words of the expert, they can't validate it for themselves. I thought, whereas this prophecies and prediction stuff, anybody can validate for themselves, because all they have to do is see if the such and such text has been published before the event or after. So I thought this could be the best form of evidence there is in convincing anyone. So I contacted Michael Hahn at the time, asking him to provide the publications so that I can present them on my website, which wasn't great at the time. It was in the starting stages. So he responded by saying that, in fact, he doesn't have them. And he cited me to contact the Meyer, who must have them. So that time I was pretty shocked by it. I thought all these years, Michael Hahn has been claiming that so many prophecies and predictions have been fulfilled on his websites, and he have been sending them to the scientists, skeptics, and you know, so all this stuff. Completely shocked that he didn't check it for himself before making all those claims.
That's an important point, Mahesh, because he makes it sound as though he has all the evidence and that he has shown it to other people. And if they haven't admitted that it was true, or if they didn't believe in it, that was their fault, because he had the evidence. They just had to open their eyes.
Yeah, right. And one more, I must say that there are some prophecies and predictions which Michael Hahn says has been fulfilled. And indeed, they have been published before. But as you might already have seen on the other websites, and on mine as well, the information has already been known before. They have been published in the newspapers or science magazines or journals and other places as well. But Michael Hahn, if somebody points to him that if such and such information has already been known before, then the defense Michael Hahn comes up with is that since Meyer has access to no scientific information, is living in a rural area in Switzerland, and since he has no access to scientific information, the only possibility, according to Michael Hahn, is either he must be cured by the top-level scientists from around the world, or the other alternative is he must be in contact with the extraterrestrials. I say that is absolutely incorrect, because Meyer himself, in his contact report, stated that, let me quote, it's the 222nd contact report, where Meyer talks extensively on the climate change and greenhouse gases. And then the Quetzal, the extraterrestrial, then praises Meyer for his extensive knowledge. And then Billy Meyer says this, quote, on the one hand, Swath taught me a lot of knowledge in this respect. But on the other hand, I also learned a lot at school, even though I was a big truant. And moreover, I am also learning constantly through professional books, professional articles in newspapers and magazines, as well as through professional television broadcasts. End quote. There you go. Meyer himself saying that he has been studying professional books, articles in newspapers and magazines, as well as on TV. And Meyer has TV since 1976. It's again according to Meyer himself.
The only reason I can see where he would come out and have to explain that he did study books and magazines and scientific articles is because there is that question. He dropped out of school in the third grade, did he not?
Yeah, I think the third grade or the fifth grade, I'm not sure.
So what I'm saying is perhaps the reason he came out with this talking of learning from the scientists is his way of saying, I'm not a dummy. I actually did study. I do know things.
Yeah, that's right.
Because otherwise, this is opening him up to a problem because, you know, we have you in India stating that he is getting access to this information when you have Michael Horn saying he doesn't have access.
Yes, exactly the opposite. And the other source of information comes from the UFO researcher Kolkoff. He published a book in 1995 called The Billy Meyer Story, Spaceships of the Pleiades. Well, in that book, he reported that during his investigation, when he went to the Switzerland, he visited a small town called Wetzikon. It's near to the place where Meyer lives. There, he visited a bookstore and interviewed the manager of the bookstore as well as the employee. What Koss stated is that this manager and employee have reported to Koff that Meyer, with his group, often visits the bookstore once every 6 weeks, and they usually purchase a lot of books on space, science, history, photography, and several other books as well. In fact, they even said that Meyer has purchased a series of books called Chronic. This Chronic are actually a set of books. Each volume is published for 1 year, and so far they have been published around 99 volumes from 1909 year to 1999 year. So Koff reasoned that he visited the Switzerland in 91, so he reasoned that it must have been around more than 80 of this series, Chronic series. So all this Chronic series is like an encyclopedia. They document everything that has happened in that year. All the geopolitics, the science developments, the progress, humanity, arts, everything. They document it in there. And somebody who already know about Koff might say that he is a very controversial figure and we shouldn't just trust what he says. And for those, I say you may be right, but see, and again, the evidence corroborating Koff's information comes from none other than Meyer and Michael Horn themselves. In fact, Figu, the group around Meyer, have uploaded a video excerpt on their YouTube channel. So basically, the footage that didn't went into the final version of the Michael Horn's film, The Silent Revolution of the Truth. It's a documentary he made in 2007. So in 2012, Figu have uploaded some excerpts from this 2007 documentary. And there, one can see Meyer walking through a room of books. It basically looks like a library. And when you freeze the frame, one can see white color books arranged in the top shelf. These white color books are the Chronic series. They are the Chronic series. And below that shelf, one can see the brown color books. And they are the Brockhaus Encyclopedia. So we have pretty strong evidence suggesting that Meyer visited these bookshops, purchased a lot of books, and he himself admits that he reads several magazines and constantly updating himself. And later we have the visual evidence of those books in his library. But in spite of all this, Michael Horn still is making the claim that Meyer has no access to scientific information. It's truly stunning.
It's almost like to believe in Billy Meyer's story, you just have to believe. You don't have to have any proof. And so when you come along, and I know you're not the only one to research him, but you seem to have done more research than anyone, you come along and you start saying, why need verification? And that's sort of seen as a threat. But it's not as though you snooped around their place. You didn't fly out to Switzerland and visit his farm and try to spy on him. You just looked up the information they put out.
Yeah, that is right. Basically, these prophecies and predictions and the outer space pictures, especially the prophecies and predictions, they haven't been investigated in depth before by anyone. So I don't know, maybe everybody thought the Meyer case, maybe the researchers and the other skeptics thought it's not worth going into when they think that the case is a hoax. So maybe they have ignored it. And the reason why I had to go into such depths investigating this case is because I thought that it was real in the first place. So after finding out a lot of this controversial stuff and the negative evidence, I thought it would be in the best interest to document everything and then make the people create their own opinions after going through my stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a good point because people did show that the UFOs could have been done with a camera, with one arm, but the way you approached it, you didn't just say, well, they proved this stuff is probably not real. You said, well, a lot of their case, especially in modern times, they really lean on these prophecies and predictions. That's what they're pushing. They're not even pushing the UFOs or the beam ships as much anymore. So what you did was a great service because for anyone who's looking into it now, in relation to what they're pushing, their message, you're able to show how there are problems with their prophecies and predictions.
Yeah, that is right. And in fact, the reason they claim that the Meyer is not giving any more evidence is due to the fact that right now we have this digital technology, digital cameras and stuff, and people can edit a lot of stuff using several softwares. So that is the reason they cite that they don't want to provide any more photos and videos of beam ships. But I think that is quite incorrect. One can clearly provide evidence in such a way that even doing it in a digital form, even we can rule out that theory that such has been manipulated using some digital software. You can simply invite journalists or some scientists to your place and take their camera and go to a prescribed place suggested by the scientists, and you can come back in a few minutes are such that in a way that you don't go to a dark room equipment and you falsify it. You can give such evidence, but so far there is no such a process has not been done before. So that is why I'm very skeptical of the case.
Right.
Especially regarding the photos.
The photos are odd because even the photo of, I think it's a woman firing this ray gun, you don't even see the entire person. You just sort of see part of their shoulder and their arm, and they never really show it in action. And with the beam ships, all they had to do was have one land, and then he could film himself walking up into it.
Yeah, that's right. That is the main question. That is my main question towards him, for him. He could do a lot of stuff. He could do... What's most intriguing is he has taken a lot of pictures of beam ships with the trees behind, the trees near to them, and even he has filmed where the beam ship rams into a tree in that video.
Mm-hmm.
So, and after that, when the skeptics went to the site, the trees were not there. the trees simply disappear. And the reason Meyer gave is that since the beam ship came very near to the tree, or the beam ship touched the tree, the radiation from the beam ship has been transferred to this tree, which the scientists and the governments, they can store this radiation and study it for themselves, which might give them premature insights, which they could create it for a weapon, use it for a weapon. So they say that they have reversed the time and shifted this tree to some other dimension. So that was the reason they gave. But seriously, my main question is, beam ships traveling several millions of light years comes and can't even maintain a distance away from the tree? And why is there not a single photo of a tree where the beam ship goes behind it and the tree still existing today? There is not one photo.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles, and immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better. Notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
Of it. It would be really be conclusive proof if the beam ship just floats behind a huge tree and the tree still exists today. That would really be conclusive proof. But so far, there is no such evidence.
Yeah, it's very tricky. So you did a lot of research into the Billy Meyer case. Let's talk for a minute about the Apollo-Soyuz photos.
Yeah, Apollo-Soyuz set of pictures. In 1975, Meyer claimed that he was taken on board the extraterrestrial spaceship and was taken to different planets, different star systems, galaxies, and even to parallel universe for a 5-day trip from July 17th to July 22nd. So as proof of his journey, Meyer says he has produced over several hundred photographs, around 1,300 plus photographs. And during the journey, exactly the Apollo-Soyuz set of pictures, they are supposedly taken by Meyer on July 17th when the Apollo spacecraft from USA and the Soyuz spacecraft from Russia, they are about to dock with each other. That was the first time these two superpowers at the time, they planned it as a symbol of ending their space race. So they planned it for July 17th, and Meyer thought it would be a good idea to photograph these. So when he was taken above the Earth, he allegedly photographed these Apollo-Soyuz docking and also several other terrestrial and extraterrestrial spacecrafts. So these photos of Apollo-Soyuz have been promoted by Meyer to be genuine photos since 1975. They have not been discovered by Meyer ever, like the other photos, Ascot Nera, which he says were fabricated by the MIB, and the other one, the Pterodon, the flying dinosaur part, he also says it has been fabricated by the MIB.
And the MIB are the Men in Black.
The Men in Black.
Yes.
The secret organization which is after Meyer trying to sabotage his mission. So these Apollo-Soyuz pictures does not belong to them because they have been promoted. They have been since 1970s and still being promoted as genuine by Meyer. And in fact, they claim that around 2001 that this extraterrestrial called Pata, he supposedly verified and authenticated around 42 of Meyer's pictures from his space journey. He says these 42 shots really came from Meyer and genuine.
Now, Pitad, the one you talk of, he is the original alien, the older man that he met in the woods.
No.
No?
I mean, the older man during 1940s, that was the time when Meyer says he was first met by an alien. His name is Svat.
Oh, that's Svat. Okay.
That's Svat.
And Pitad
is supposedly Svat's son.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I always get those names twisted around and mixed up, except for Semyazi.
That happens. And Semyazi is Pitad's daughter.
Okay.
So where are we?
Oh, you said that Pitad had been able to verify over 40 of the images?
Yeah, 42, and the even extraterrestrials have verified these 42 images, and they have published it in the latest edition of the contact reports, which have been published since 2002. These have been published in two volumes, published in 2002 and 2003. A total of 31 pictures have been published. So at the time I got hold of these pictures, and there were these Apollo-Soyuz pictures also among them, and also several photographs of spacecrafts, terrestrial and extraterrestrial spacecrafts. Regarding the Apollo-Soyuz pictures, when I started digging into it, they have been found to be frames from the NASA animation. It was found by Kalkoff and documented in his 1981 booklet. His booklet is called The Most Infamous Hoax in Ufology or something, the name of that booklet. He mentioned in that booklet that he talked with a NASA employee who said that these frames, the images of Meyer's, resembles the frames from the NASA animation. And he says that they also match the design of the spacecraft, also matches perfectly with the animated models in the NASA animation stuff. This stuff has been known since 1980s, but since then, in spite of all this, they have been promoting these as genuine. And in fact, in 1991, FIGU member Guido Moosberger has published a book in which he defended these photos by simply citing a drawing of a Soyuz spacecraft from 1960s. So that's quite illogical, because the real Soyuz that went up in space and docked with the Apollo is completely different in design to the one that was shown in the NASA animation. So all it takes is to look at one real photograph of Soyuz and Apollo. But FIGU hasn't done it. In fact, in order to support their point, they provide the design of the Soyuz spacecraft, which is shown in NASA animation. And that was from 1960s. It's a world model of Soyuz. So that was quite illogical, and it really shows how far one goes to support their beliefs, and that is how. And the rest of the photographs, the other terrestrial spacecraft which Meyer supposedly shot above the Earth, they look like the Russian space station Salyut and the Soyuz 4 and Soyuz 5 spacecraft in docking position. But surprisingly, the Salyut 1 space station, it is launched in 1969, I guess 1971, I guess, somewhere around. And after a few weeks, it has re-entered the atmosphere and disintegrated in the same year, the same month itself. The same thing is also with the Soyuz 4 and 5. So if they have been launched and re-entered and disintegrated in the atmosphere in the same month and same years, that is 1969 and 1971, how come Meyer photographed them in 1975? I don't know.
We can guess why, right?
Yeah, that's obvious. And guess what? The Meyer's images are identical to frames, once again, from the Russian documentary from 1969 and 1972. So there you go. Once again, the Meyer's images are exactly matched with the ones from the documentaries, NASA animation, spacecraft imagery, paintings. All this has been documented on my website. So that's it.
So that covers the Apollo-Soyuz but I remember when we were talking before we had you on the show, there was something else that you wanted to discuss research-wise, the Iceman.
Yes.
The Iceman's important because it was quite a find discovering a man who had been preserved in the ice for so long, for thousands of years.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, the Iceman, he's also referred to as the Wodzi because of the place where he was discovered in the Odzal Alps, somewhere near the border between Italy and Austria. That was quite a find, and it was covered in worldwide and was reported in the media. So what we are talking is regarding the prediction Meyer supposedly made on the discovery and the causes of death of this Iceman, which both Figu and Michael Horn claims that Meyer has published the information regarding the Iceman several months and in fact more than a decade before our scientists have discovered the body and at the same time discovered the true cause of death of this Iceman. So first let's go through the discovery part. Figu as well as Michael Horn claims that Meyer has published this information regarding the discovery of the Iceman months before it. The Iceman was discovered in September of 1991, and they say that Meyer has published the information in May 1991. So that is a pretty extraordinary claim. So I wrote to both Michael Horn and Figu asking if there is any evidence to support their claims. I didn't get any response from Figu, and the response I got from Michael is that even though he doesn't have that proof, he is sure that Meyer does. And I asked him, can you provide that evidence from Meyer? So far, I didn't get any response, but still citing that Meyer has typewritten it somewhere. But so far, for some reason, he's not producing any such evidence. And in fact, what I found is that Meyer never published it before 1991. I have inquired other Figu members, and also did some textual analysis, and I found out that Meyer has published the information of Iceman for the first time several months after the body has been discovered in September. In fact, he published it on in January 1992 in a booklet which for some reason has the publication date as June 1991. They say that this book is supposed to be published earlier, but for some reasons it has been delayed and only been published in the next year. But they still have the earlier publication date, June 1991. For any unsuspecting readers, one might think that Meyer has predicted it, but that is not the case.
They can't just publish it after the fact and then claim that they had the information, but the publication was delayed. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, that's right. And the next amazing part is about the cause of death. When the scientists discovered the body in 1991, they speculated that he could have died due to hypothermia because there were no visible injuries on his body. It was only in 2001, more than a decade later, in July of 2001, by using modern CT scan equipment, they found that this arrowhead was lodged in his back of his shoulder, and the research indicated that the arrowhead likely have punctured the main artery, severed the artery, and due to blood loss, he could have died.
So he was attacked by another person.
Yeah, that's right. They say that he could have been attacked from behind by an enemy, he could have been chased. So. Regarding this part, both Figu and Michael, and particularly Michael Horn, he published an article in 2008. And the title of the article is 5,100-year-old Iceman proves Meyer UFO contact case true. So in that article, he claims that Meyer has provided information regarding how he died. I mean, Meyer supposedly published that the Iceman died because of arrow in 1991. And Michael says that even though he doesn't have the proof of 1991 publication, he has proof of a 1996 publication. That is at least 5 years before the 2001 when scientists found out. So I thought that would be stunning. But having already seen so many bad examples of fulfilled prophecies and predictions, I really want to check it myself. So as a proof of this claim, Michael on his article has provided scans of the pages along with the copyright page that shows the year as 1996. This particular book. So I thought to myself, why not check it with another copy of the same book? So I got hold of this another copy through the help of a friend, and we looked into it, and to our surprise, we found out that there is no arrow there. In fact, the information in the contact report exactly matches with that of the what the scientists were speculating at that time. That is, he could have been died of hypothermia. The contact report states that the Iceman, due to an epileptic fit, he fell from some height, and exactly at the time when a huge storm started, and due to it, his companions, which were around 13 or 14, have abandoned him. Due to that, and he could not move, he has died from, obviously, to hypothermia. That was the older information. And so I checked it with a couple of copies, and it is the same. Before the in all the publications before 2001, there was no arrow there, and in all the publications after 2001, suddenly there was arrow there. So that is pretty interesting. And regarding the scans which Michael Hunt provided on this on his webpage, I found out that that particular copy is a reprint. It was printed much later after 2001. And in fact, the Figu person who provided Michael Horn with the scans of this supposedly 1996 book, he this year in January admitted that it is most likely the case that the scans he provided could have come from the book that was published after 2001, after the discovery was made by the scientists. And in spite of all this, Michael Horn still, the article is still there and is still claiming that Meyer has published his information before the scientists did, and is still demanding $1 million from the James Randi, the $1 million prize, James Randi challenge.
This is such a big deal because he's trying to say that Billy Meyer predicted that there would be an Iceman found, and not only that, but how he actually died. You looked into it and discovered that they had retroactively changed their information at a later point to fit the facts. And Michael Horn is trying to use this to say they qualify for James Randi's $1 million challenge, where you can show some sort of amazing ability that is unexplained. So by making this prediction, they qualify for the $1 million. And they keep saying that James Randi didn't hold up his part of the deal, but you've shown that James Randi should not have to pay this money to them.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I would also like to provide you with one more example regarding this Iceman. It's about the age of the corpse. Initially, when scientists discovered the Iceman in September 1991, towards the end of the same month, they speculated that the Iceman must be at least 4,000 years old. And after a few months, we have Meyer publishing his information where he says that the age of the Iceman must be 4,105 years old. Later, in February of 1992, somewhere towards January, I'm not sure, the scientists using latest equipment or measurements have then indicated that the age of the Iceman must be at least somewhere between 5,100 years and 5,300 years. So they have revised the age of the Iceman. And guess what Figu did? In 1993, they published an article. Meyer and Figu published an article saying that how their value of 4,105 years is the most accurate one because it was given by the extraterrestrials who are superior in technology and science to us. And they say that some mistakes could have been done by the scientists using their imprecise calculations and imprecise apparatus. So that was there in 1993. They have defended their original given value of 4,105 years. But surprisingly, from 1996 onwards, this value has been silently changed to 5,105 years without notifying the readers. There was not even a note saying that this value has been changed because of this and this reason. So later when I found out, I wrote directly to Figu asking them, why did they change this when they have defended their older value of 4,105 years? And the response they gave me is that with their articles, the topic is closed and that they don't want to talk about it.
Well, that's so, rather convenient.
Yeah, it seems to be.
So they go back and they change the information as they need to and then try to claim original publication dates that are prior to when the information changed for the scientific crowd.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, I have documented so much of such editing of the text, interjecting of new information that seemingly matches with the latest scientific discoveries. So that's it.
You did all this research and you just gave some examples of some of the research you did. It's quite extensive. But in the years that you were doing this, you've sort of had an interesting relationship here with Michael Horn, because he started off as seeing you as an ally. And then because of your research, he started to feel as though you were, how shall I put it, a thorn in his side?
Yeah, that's right. Initially, I worked along with him documenting all this prophecies and prediction stuff. And when I found out that the claims made by him and Meyer doesn't quite add up, and when I asked them for these original publications, it is at that time that the friction between us started, because I told him that I'm going to publish this, the things which I have discovered, which I have shared with you now, and he doesn't seem to be happy with that. So, and yeah, the part regarding the these publications, when I found out that Michael Horn didn't verify them, and he told me that to contact directly Meyer and Figu about it. So at the time, I wrote to Meyer and Figu asking for these publications, these older publications which are supposedly published before the events or discoveries were made by the scientists. They told me saying that these older publications contain a lot of mistakes due to printing errors, because of bad proofreading, and also because of the mistakes that could have been generated when while Meyer was translating the telepathic symbols to the German language. This is how he usually types down the contact notes. So they say that basically these contact notes, these older publications have a lot of mistakes, and they instructed me not to use these old publications. In fact, they told me to use the newer ones, which have only been published recently from 2002. I did not quite understand it at that time, because I could not get my head around it, because if they have claimed that such and such prophecy and has been fulfilled and have been published before, it has been they have been occurred. So if that is the case, and of course the information should be in the older publications, right?
Right.
If they say they have been fulfilled, they should have been there. So when I ask them, they say all these mistakes, it is quite illogical. And I wrote them demonstrating with examples why this is not, why it is illogical and why we really need the old publications. But somehow they were so adamant, and they again told me to use only the newer publications for my website. Later, I again tried with a couple of myths. At that time, they revealed to me that they could not help me, because all of their older publications have been literally thrown into the fire and burned down. That really shocked me, because I thought these prophecies and predictions and the evidence in older publications could be the most easiest form of evidence, strong evidence, that any common folks can validate it for himself. So I thought that just by burning, I said to myself, how could they do it to such a strong evidence which has the potential to convince anyone, even a reasonable person who doesn't have any technical knowledge. So it was at that time I got in contact with a other FIGU member. So there were these different kind of FIGU memberships. He's a passive member, and there is this core group which lives around Meyer, and they have to meet once per month. And these other group members call as the passive members. They can come from anywhere in the world, and there is a difference between these two. And I got in contact with this passive member. He told me that he could help me with the project. He was excited at first, but after a few days, the group that is close to Meyer, the core group, they found out that that this passive member has been helping me out with his older publications. Soon they wrote a mail to him, rebuking him and warning him that his membership would be revoked if he would not stop helping me out. So at the time, my project got stalled. But after a few months, I got in contact with another member. So he like me, also wants to see the actual evidence and check it for himself. So with he said he has access to all these old editions. And with the help of him, we have documented more than 200 of these supposedly fulfilled prophecies and predictions. And here I must note that not all prophecies and predictions have been told by Meyer to have been published before the events. He say that some prophecies and predictions have been deliberately withheld because if he has published them, that would cause prematurely publish them. It would cause chaos in society and the geopolitics and all this stuff, mm-hmm. So they say some has been deliberately withheld.
So that's another convenient thing, that he won't tell us everything he knows because it would cause society to break down. But the trouble I have with all this is, who's even paying attention to him? So even if he published it, there wouldn't really be any impact. And furthermore, you said these passive members, they're not all on board either, because one of them started to help you until he was scared off. And then you had another one that did end up helping you. And if they really had things on lockdown, they would have either told you right off the bat that they wouldn't help you, or they would have said, there's nothing to check here. We've seen the evidence. We believe, and you're wasting your time. But they actually said, oh, I want to know too, and started looking into it. So again, Billy Meyer's lacking true evidence, and it seems like a fairy tale in the end, right?
Yeah, but again, you see, I agree with most of you what you said. Again, regarding the fairy tale part, what is mystery to me is, how come one-armed Swiss man living in some rural area could, what is his motivation? It's very intriguing. It's very interesting to know what is his motivation to create, if he hoax everything, to create all this, take hundreds of photographs, films, metal samples, recordings, and what did the over 100 plus witnesses, what did they see? I mean, did they all hallucinate? Did Meyer have such an influence on them that they are believed to have seen what Meyer says? I don't know. I could not explain all of it, but when you take the individual evidence and when you investigate it, all you are left with is either inconclusive evidence or evidence that is obviously faked, like the space pictures and the prophecies and predictions.
Right.
So when you put everything together, I still could not come up with any hypothesis that explains everything. Because obviously somebody could say that he is after the money, but I don't see any evidence of that, because he just lives a modest life. He doesn't come in the media and ask for money. Maybe there could be some other hypothesis, but I would say that when you want to investigate the case scientifically, this part should be rather be you know, the hypothesis part for trying to come up with a big picture. It's not it doesn't have to be. What I'm trying to say is that first we have to investigate the evidence part of the case.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's a lot like a criminal case where the prosecutor does not have to come up with why it happened. They just have to show how it happened.
Yeah, that's right.
So we don't have to know really why Billy does it. It could just be for attention.
Yeah.
He's living larger than he would have been had he not been this prophet.
Yeah, that's right. The most people who I have met, among the pro-Meyer group, and even the Michael Horn himself, whenever somebody points to him that this evidence is obviously fake, like the space pictures, and when I show that the prophecy's predictions have been edited, and the immediate response for him would be, why would he fake? And for what reason? He frequently says, what are the means, motive, and opportunity for Meyer? We have shown means and opportunity, but he says, what is the motive? What would be the motive? Since nobody can come up with a good motive, he says, so the case must be genuine. That was only his alternative. I say that there could be other hypotheses which we could not adequately support with evidence. My advice is not to simply fall for the motive part. First, go through the evidence, study everything, and decide it for yourself. So that is it.
Well, before I let you go, Mahesh, why don't you let everyone know where they can find your blogs so they can look over your research and look over your posts that you make on this case?
I have my website, which is billymeyeruforesearch.com. This is a website I documented and researched everything that is pro and con on the case. And I have also a blog, which is ufoprophet.blogspot.com. I created that blog when my views were largely positive towards the case. But in that blog I just document everything that is on the case for the articles, everything, pro and con articles. It is not a pro website per se, but just it documents everything that is on the case, the radio shows, the videos, the articles published on the Meyer case in the MUFON magazines, other UFO magazines as well. One can go through that.
So any podcasts that are done on it might show up there, or any videos?
Yeah, right. One can go through it. Every audio show on the Meyer case has been documented over there. Only the most recent ones. After the 2012, all the audio shows have been documented there.
So
and even show as well.
The websites are billymeyeruforesearch.com. And
yes.
ufoprophet.blogspot.com.
Yes, that is right.
Okay. I'll put those links in the show notes as well so that if anyone wants to look at them, they'll be linked from there as well.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Well, Mahesh, it was great to talk to you, and I'm glad you got to talk about this case in your own words, because I've been looking at your websites for quite a while, and especially the Billy Meyer UFO research. And it's just really well done.
Yeah, thank you very much, Aaron. Thank you very much for inviting me to your show.
And if anyone has had a little bit of difficulty understanding you, if they head to your websites, they're very easy to understand. So I would encourage everyone to go and visit the websites and look at the information you provide, because it's so well laid out.
Well, thank you, Aaron.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.